Okay, you're so welcome. Just one short news before my talk. As Attila pointed out yesterday, there is a new GCN which about January 16 burst. That was a day before what the burst what Ken mentioned. So the photometric redshift of this burst is 6.6. 6.6, so.
Wait, is this a short burst or a long burst?
Oh, wow. That's a long one, yeah. Yeah, it would be very amazing for us.
Yeah, that's right. That's why it's from a break in the spectrum. It's a break in the spectrum.
No, it's over there. Okay. So I'm going to talk about the subgroup of the bursts. And this is the structure of my talk. I will shortly mention the properties of the GRBs, study the duration distribution, making Gaussian fits, and I will talk about some other works and some recent results. First of all, I will go back to the ancient time, which was called the Bazzi era. The reason why I'm doing this, you know, Bazzi was operated between 91 and 2000. Before that time, I think there were about 300 bursts observed. And later time, probably another 300 after Bazzi died. And because, you know, Bazzi was one of the experiments on the Compton Gamma Ray Observatory. It was orbiting around the Earth, so because of the occultation of the Earth, probably there were, let's say, another 300 bursts which was not seen by Bazzi. But Bazzi itself observed 2,700 bursts. And later work studied the continuous data of the Compton database, and actually two or maybe more different groups independently worked on the data, and they found at least 1,400 non-triggered bursts. So Bazzi observed at least 4,000 bursts, which is still more than 80% of the ever observed burst population. So that's the reason, for the statistical point of view, it's very good to study the Bazzi database. And so I apologize, I go back to the ancient time, but for all my talk, I will talk about the Bazzi data. Would you turn the light, please? So here are the properties of the bursts which Bazzi observed. There were four different channels from the hard X-ray to, well, about 1 MeV. And also the duration, or both T90 and T50, was calculated. And peak fluxes were observed in three different timescales. I will talk about the principal component analysis of the nine quantities. Duration, why? That's because it's still not clear what is the population, and also it was been a great challenge to classify the burst into classes. So Mazetz et al. And Norris et al. Were the first who suggested there might be a separation in the duration distribution. And after the first Bazzi catalog was published, Cuvelier et al. Published this paper about the bimodality. You remember last week Elena mentioned the big figure of it. I just skip this slide because Attila, I think Attila will talk about the two Gaussian fit and the duration distribution and the dispersion it that's intrinsic. And there is a very nice mathematical theorem, the Cramer theorem, and I think Attila will talk about this more. This is the picture what Elena mentioned. This contains 427 bursts. And I pointed out there maybe not a bimodal. Actually, for the mathematical point of view, the modality is defined by how many maxima the function has. So it has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, but I don't think it's a 5 modal. But okay, so there is a separation. That was one of the Covellier 2 paper point around 2 seconds. When the 3B catalog was published, now, before that, Covellier et al., the same group, published another paper, which was published in the Third Hansel Proceedings. This was the figure, but in the text, there was nothing about the fitting and the parameter of the Gaussians. So when the size of the sample was doubled, almost 800 bursts, that was the 3B distribution, so I just made a fit and published a paper about this. You can see the Gaussian fit very, very good. There is no problem with the two Gaussians except this pump. Because the size is double, we can have a smaller bean size. So the bean size is twice smaller. And so here the observed observation. One can take the observed observation minus the fitted function, the two Gaussian fit. And here is the distribution. Here's the 1 sigma limits, and the 2 sigma and the 3 sigma limits. And if you count how many beans exceed the 1 sigma limit, you probably count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 here. So there are 6 continuously here, and even 3 which exceed the 2 sigma and the 3 sigma limits. And so how can we answer the question whether it's a real deviation or not? That's the F-test. And I believe, okay, so here is the 3 Gaussian fit. So one can have the 2 Gaussian fit and the 3 Gaussian fit. I use the chi-square method, and F-test is, I think it's well known for the supernova society, because F-test is the mathematical way to show the probability whether there is an absorption or emission line over there. So the F-test shows the probability for having the third component by chance is just 10 to the minus 4, which I think it's a good improvement. We have 3 kind of populations. The same time, in the same volume in ABJ, Mukherjee et al. Published another paper, which was much longer and has much more detail. In the multidimensional parameter space, they also find this third group. And this is the picture, the figure from the Mukherjee et al. Paper. And so, from the multidimensional parameter space of the burst, you just project to the T90. There was one outlier, and here are the short and long and the intermediate burst population, what they found. The problem is, one can have this region where are only long bursts, and also for only short bursts. Less than 1 second, there are only short bursts. But between 0.3 and 0.6, you see these 4 beans, it's not really clear whether the burst belongs. It can belong to the short ones, also for the long ones and the intermediate ones. So the separation is not clear. That was the same sample what they used. It's almost 800 bursts. other paper were done after that. All of them confirmed the existence of the third group. Aquila et al. In 2000, a Spanish group in 2001, two Finnish researchers in 2002. I published another paper, I will talk about this. And Aquila et al. Published another one. I'm mentioning two Aquila papers because they have different conclusions about the population size. And I will talk about our recent result. Okay, so Compton finished its mission, and so the Batze catalog was finalized. And here is the final T90 distribution of the bursts. And some of my colleagues pointed out, well, seems to be there is no third bump, but the case may be even worse because there is no real separation between the short and the long ones. And I think that's just because we have bigger sample. There are almost 2,000 bursts here. So if the Gaussian assumption is good, if you have more and more bursts, your Gaussian wings also well populated. So even this valley seems to disappear. But one can make fit, and that's what I take in 2002. Two Gaussian and a C Gaussian. I used likelihood, maximum likelihood expectation rather than the chi-square fit. And there are still deviation in this region between the 2 seconds and the 10 seconds that were the intermediate duration burst group remain. However, the probability just goes to the 10 to the minus 2. 10 to the minus 2 is not very, very good. So what we did with my colleagues, we tried to use more parameters. Bagoy et al. In 98 published a paper about what I previously mentioned. And this Bagoy et al. Includes Attila and myself. So we showed the problem at least a two-dimensional, but of course, so in the nine-dimensional parameter space, each burst is represented by a point. And the question is, and there is a very good mathematical method which is used in many not just in science, also in economy, that's called the principal component analysis, and it shows the problem is definitely not a four-dimensional problem. The third dimension is questionable, and it shows also the first two pieces called principal component can explain more than 90% of the whole properties of the bursts. The first PC was the combination of T90 and Fluence. The Fluence and T90, they are very correlated. So one, we can just keep the T90 and for one parameter, and one can use the second PC also, but it's always better to use some observed parameter on some parameter which has physical meaning. So we choose the hardness ratio for the second parameter. And let's go back again the Q-value et al. The paper famous about for two reasons. One is it was first published the bimodality, but also they published, so here are T90, and this is the hardness ratio called, which is the ratio of the fluences of the second and the third channel. Second channel is approximately between 50 and 100 keV, and the third channel is between 100 and 300 keV. So if the hardness ratio is higher, that means the third channel has more fluences than the lower channel. So the burst hard here. and they softer here. So here are the long ones and the short ones. And if you project this to the hardness axis, only for the short ones, the distribution is something like this, and for the long ones, is this. And so the short tend to be harder than the long ones. It was also published there is an anticorrelation between the two quantities. Okay, I will discuss this in much detail a little later, because this is an anticorrelation in the whole sample, but among the short ones or among the long ones, that's another question. So this is the 2000 bursts distributed in this T90 hardness plane. Just once again, the long ones and the short ones. And as I showed you previously, the duration can be well fitted by Gaussian. And just by naked eye, the distribution looks elliptical, so there's no problem for the other axis to having a two-dimensional Gaussian fit in this plane. So here we have each point one burst, and the same distribution on the same plane if we use density. And the density distribution is also elliptical. And what I tried to say previously about the anticorrelation, one can study here. Okay, for the whole sample there is anticorrelation, it's no question. But for the long ones, the elliptical axis seems to me it's horizontal, and also here. So there is no correlation or anticorrelation among the short ones or among the long ones. Okay, so let's make a two-dimensional Gaussian fits, one for the short ones, one for the long ones, and make a difference between the observed distribution and the fit. And that's what we have. Okay, let's just point it out. Here we have 1500. The most dense area is this one for any kind of units. I just hired the contour level for 150, and so there are noise, of course, here and here, but not above this level. And above this level, there is only this region, which is actually two times higher than the noise here. So what I try to say is, here is the most dense area, 10 times denser than this level, and there is no deviation from in this dense area, just the noise. But there is a huge deviation here. That's the third group. So, okay, let's make a three Gaussian fits. That's the mathematics of the fits. That's the Bayesian probability for the groups. So one can have k groups. Previously k was 2, so L goes 1 and 2. We have 2 Gaussian. And 1 Gaussian itself, here is the formula for the 1 Gaussian in the two-dimensional space. Axis x and y, so x is the T90, y is the hardness, and IAX is the center in duration, IY is the center in hardness. So this is the center of the Gaussian and the dispersion of them, and of course the fifth parameter is the correlation. I don't know whether you remember your undergraduate study, but anyway, for the one dimension, the Gaussian have three parameters. Well, two. One is the center, one is the dispersion, and of course the whole integral of the function. But in two dimensions, it has five parameters, two for the centers, two dispersions, and one, which is the correlation between the two quantities. Okay, if we have two dimensions, two Gaussians, so five and five, but there is a ratio between them, which has 60%, which has 40%. So for two, we have 11 parameters to fit. I don't think I need a light. You can see it? Okay. For three, you have 17. For four, so many parameters, but anyway, I just studied this and this. So for two Gaussians, we need 11 parameters to fit, and for three, we have 17. That's why I need to Bazzi. We have 2,000 points that can be fitted. Okay, thank you. Let me see. Yeah, you are the fit. Same distribution, and one sigma ellipticals. It's hardly seen for the long ones because they are very dense. Okay, here are the parameters. I will go back for this. Let me just see this one. This is a mathematical formula to calculate the significance level. And this is when one have 11 degree of freedom and the secondly 17 degree of freedom, and this is just the formula how the which shows we use the maximum likelihood method for k equal to 2. The value, the maximum likelihood, the best fit was this, and for k equal to 3 the best fit was this. The likelihood value itself shows nothing. Actually, this is the logarithm of the likelihood. But anyway, but the difference is between them, which is 44 here. And if we go four groups, so included a fourth component, we got 6. So just double the number and see what is the... Because this number means approximately... It's a degree of freedom 6. That's a chi-square distribution. It's distributed as a chi-square distribution with a degree of freedom 6 because we got 6 more parameters. So when we included the third component, 88, the chi-square distribution with a degree of freedom 6, it has an extremely low, actually 10 to the minus 10 probability. Which means we have very, very low probability to having this third component just by chance. But when the fourth component was included, we got a probability 6%. So that means we got a good chance, not a very bad chance, to having this just by chance. So the fourth introduction, the fourth component is not needed. That one of the major points. Of course, one point is we have the third one, but the fourth is not necessary, which is a good agreement with what is Cuvelier 2 at all pointed out. Okay, so once again, duration, hardness, distribution. In this plane, we have the short burst, the long burst, and the intermediate ones distributed here. They are intermediate in duration, but also they tend to be shorter. And if you remember one of the Elna's slide, the X-ray flashes, they are closer to the third groups. I just announced a question whether there is a connection between the third group or and the X-ray flashes. And let's study the numbers. Here are the duration. So the duration, the logarithm of the duration is this one, that means half. So the maximum, or the center of the duration for the short burst, half a second. For the long ones, 1.5, that's about 25 or 30 seconds. And the intermediate one distributed around 7 or 8 seconds. So between 2 seconds and 10 seconds. Here are the dispersion in duration, and also the harder, as I already pointed out. Short ones, they are the harder ones. They are the long ones. And the intermediate type of the burst, they tend to be the softer ones. Okay, what are those numbers? That means 25% of the bursts short, 65% are longs, and 11% of the bursts they are belongs to this third group. And the correlation. These two numbers, they are not significant. This is almost zero, and this is very small. But there is a strong anticorrelation among the intermediate group here. So there is no correlation among the long ones. There is a slight correlation among the short ones. But this can be also because the fit is just pushing this ellipsis a little bit. But anyway, this is not a significant, but this is a very significant, the anticorrelation.
What are field and what are open circles?
Excuse me?
What are field and what are open circles?
This one?
Yeah.
Okay. I will answer one sentence later. So, here are the one sigma ellipses I already mentioned. And when you calculate the probability for each point, you can calculate the probability whether this point belongs to this one or this one or this one. You just see the Gaussian component of the short bursts, which is the value for it, which is the value for the long and for the intermediate ones. And you just normalize it for one, and you got the percentage. What is the percentage for the special burst for this one? And the field circle means this is intermediate one. And this circle means these are the long ones, and those guys are the short ones. And that's why previously mentioned, among the one sigma ellipses, there are only short ones here, only long ones here. But here the picture is a little mixed. Those guys, well, the field circle doesn't mean this burst is an intermediate one. It means the probability this is the intermediate one is the higher than the short and the long probability. This burst also could be the intermediate one, but the probability this is the long burst, it's a little higher than this is the intermediate one. And there are some shorts. Actually, there are more details about your question in our paper. Was the astro pH mentioned? I think it was. Yeah, the paper is on the astro pH, and it was accepted 3 months ago, but it hasn't appeared yet. Well, actually, I'm almost ready, so okay. Yeah. Once again, the two Gaussian fit, there's nothing bad with the two Gaussian. It's also good, just very nice. But F-test shows the three Gaussian is significantly better. Data mining in high dimensional space, at least 5 independent groups confirmed this. So statistically, there is no question. Statistically, the third birth population exist. The question is whether it physically exists a distinct population or not. So it can be instrumental effects, observational effects. Jon Hockila liked the instrumental bias and he studied, but he published two papers which has two different explanations for how can we get this third component. And one major statement is no further groups are needed. I might show you the... Yes, here. There was a paper about this little bump. There is a very short birth population which distributed an anisotropy on the sky, but there are only 22 bursts over there, and I don't see statistics can say anything about the 22 bursts distribution in the sky. So almost two-thirds of the bursts of the body of the bursts. Of course, the percentage of the population for Swift, right, it's different. It can differ because of the experiment are different. So almost two-thirds are long ones, one-fourth the short ones, and one-ninth the third one, which intermediate in duration and softest in hardness.
Yeah. This is only based on these two parameters. What if you look at the other properties?
As I already mentioned you, where is the Bagui et al.? You can do it. That's what Mukherjee et al. They there's no pure mathematics to choose which parameter best. So they studied two different space. One was five-dimensional and one was six-dimensional. And they just had the slightly same conclusion. It's this one. There's one outlier always there. And they got three groups. And the Bagui et al. Pointed out, you can study the nine-dimensional space, but the distribution of the nine-dimensional space, six or maybe seven dimension, is meaningless. What principal component analysis is doing, just rotating in this nine-dimensional space, and find the two or three or whatever best dimensions. And, okay, this is Bayesian information criterion from the Mukherjee et al. Okay, they calculate the big value having one group, having two groups, having three groups, having four groups, having five groups, and so on. And it shows there is the third, if you have third one, the big value is the bigger one. The difference here and here to having three, well, it's no question having three groups, the big value is significantly higher. But the difference to having four rather than three, it's 20. And can I have the paper, please? You can keep it after. This is a very good paper. I'm not on the author list. So, big differences less than 2 represent a weak evidence. Differences between 2 and 6 represent positive evidence. And between 6 and 10, strong evidence. And greater than 10, very strong evidence. And here we have 20. So that means the fourth component is not needed. That's a good agreement with our new paper and this very old one.
But so are you trying to say that the third group is a different, like, I don't know, a different physical progenitor or a different anything in the physics, or is it just part?
Yeah, Attila, we have a talk about what is the difference between the short and the long ones, which was the paper published, Attila, 2003, I think. And definitely the progenitors must be different for the short and long ones, because the duration fluence correlation different.
Sure, short and long we know, but intermediate.
Well, this is the difference, what I can tell you right now. There is no correlation with hardness and duration, the long and the short ones, but if they are physically existing, there should be an explanation of this anticorrelation.
But why do you say if they are physically existing? It looks like they're convincing that they are existing.
Well, the theorists don't like it. Or
no, but it's convincing.
It's
convincing only in mathematical games.
Yeah, this is the issue.
That no, but this is physics. I mean, you have a color.
We could draw a line right there and have two groups, right?
No, mathematics is very pure.
So the issue is that they're fitting Gaussians. Why do I think the period distribution from my long curve should be Gaussian?
Why not? Exactly,
and if it's not, but the reason why this is so interesting is it's not a Gaussian. If I instead say, well, my long duration verse is not a Gaussian, what you're telling me is this is how it deviates from a Gaussian. And I still need to have some explanation for that.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but
you have a point. You are right.
Why I don't, why I don't worry about thinking about a new mechanism for that whole thing is that it could be that I just don't have. But I, at some point, I have to think about why am I not getting a Gaussian distribution. But right now, I don't even know why I would get a Gaussian distribution. In fact, the first step is what's close to a Gaussian. So why is it close to a Gaussian?
Yeah. You are right. The assumption is the distribution are Gaussians, and it's not very bad. You know, sometimes it could be not very good. Here are very good. But anyway, there could be no third component just because the Gaussian is not well fitted. You know, it's a little asymmetric. There is a bump. That's actually what our code finds. So if the distribution, the long burst distribution, is not Gaussian for any reason, intrinsically or caused by observational bias, of course the code finds a third component.
But what could the observational bias be?
Well, what Jon Hokila like to say, for dim long bursts, the duration could be underestimated. So if some burst from here goes there, that would be. Well, I think this. So second time, Jon wrote another paper which had different conclusions.
The other way around, no? Right.
And actually, about the sky distribution, I'm very sorry. I just have a slide about this. I'm probably not able to show you. The intermediate group itself on the sky distributed non-isotropically, but the significance is just 96, just 96%. But if you cut it, well, if you cut the data, that's really bad. that's not a good mathematics. But anyway, if you cut it for the brighter and the dimmer part significance is 99.3%. So that's the sky distribution, which, well, it's maybe isotropic, maybe not. But statistic is still not bad because we have 100 bursts. And the bad thing is, oops, where is it? It's not clear which, if there is, let's say, there is physically a different subgroup. But in this region, they are mixtured. So among these 100, probably 50 or 60 belongs to this intermediate group. and the other part belongs to the long ones, which distributed isotropically. So still the anisotropy can be seen. That means they really distributed anisotropically. Attila, are you going to talk about the anisotropy? No, just the Cramer theorem.
Is there anything known about the redshift distribution of the
NPK? No. We should ask this guy Bogway, because he had another paper about he used the soft X-ray axis to calculate Z. But for, you mean observed redshift?
Any of the positions.
I think the long bursts, almost all of them, longer than 10, which was observed by Swift. And so there are maybe one, or I checked once, maybe a year ago. We have only one or two between 2 seconds and 10 seconds.
And what are the ratios?
Don't remember. 1 point is not a test statistic. Okay. Other question?
Other questions?
Do you know where in this diagram the three supermelt are related, hypermelt are related?
I don't know.
No. It should all be on this side, right?
Yeah, they are longs.
Yeah, but the intermediate ones can also be long.
Oh yeah, this part. But you know, for calculate the probability here, is that's not very good. It's far more than 2 sigma for the for both Gaussians, and they're just very small numbers, and one is just smaller than the smaller one. So for this and this, it's not really not.
So you don't consider the probability of the finite dots at long duration very properly calculated, meaningful?
Yeah, that's what I said. It's not really meaningful here. If you are close to the Gaussians, they are meaningful, but...
So probably this tells you something about the potential association, connection with X-ray flashes, which you mentioned before. I would tend to exclude that. Mm-hmm. Because if you are left only with the bursts between 2 and 10 seconds, for example, I would say, X-ray flashes can be very long.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, there is one Leposax flash. I don't remember the number right now, but anyway, the gamma ray signal, it was a true X-ray flash, because the gamma ray signal was untriggered. It was detected by the monitor, by the GRP monitor, but untriggered, so it was very weak. However, the analysis of the offline data showed that it was the longest gamma ray signal of any gamma ray burst detected by SACS. It was nearly 300 seconds. So X-ray flashes can be very long in gamma rays, although the gamma ray signal is weak and generally untriggered, they can be very long. So probably a one-to-one connection of this class with X-ray flashes probably is not.
You remember the X-ray flashes? They are very, very soft.
Yes.
Somewhere here, but there are two among the bursts, as I remember. Am I right? Somewhere here.
I don't remember. You mean of short duration?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Ed pointed out, yeah, those guys goes to the intermediate ones. So.
But you T19 in which band? Because T19 is different in different bands.
Oh yeah, you're right. The borders are 25 keV to 1 MeV.
Any speculation about models?
I'm not a theoretician. I like to play statistics and free numbers. And we have one clear mathematical guy who is the background. Okay.
No statistics about
it. No.
Well, there's suggestions for what X-ray flares are, so they X-ray flashes. So, and you might, I don't know, you might expect something, you know, that might be why you're getting, you know, something along those suggestions could be also why you might get something away from the Gaussian from the typical long dimensional flashes. I mean, to me, the hardest part is why are the long-duration bursts mostly Gaussian? Why would they be a Gaussian?
Yeah, that's another point.
That's another, you know, they fit a Gaussian pretty well. Why do I expect that?
But why would they have another bump?
Well, for the long, that surprised me. Actually, this has never happened if you study real physics. But this is real physics. The probability 98% or something, but it's on the other side.
The second side.
Yeah, the second side, yeah. So, very well fitted.
Yeah.
Almost no difference. It's surprising for the short ones, but because the for the long ones, the relative error is not very bad, but the short ones, they have very, very big errors compared to the duration. So if you just see this part and this part. Okay, thanks.